Hi, good morning. This is Brian here. So I'd like to apologize for the late podcast. Things are pretty crazy this week. So we will make sure that this will not happen. So the latest the podcast will come out will be on Tuesday. Before we start on this week's podcast, I would love that if you think that the podcast is helpful or it is interesting, or there is place where we can further improve. Could you leave us a review on iTunes App Store, or rather the podcast store? Or I would love from you. You can just send it to my email at reachme@bosslead.co, or just tweet us at lunchbike. Thank you. Now we will get started.
Hello, my name is Chris Chai, and you are listening to Launch Bite, coming to you from our homes on Sunday, May 25th, 2014. With me is my regular co-host, Brian Lee.
Hello.
We here at Launch Bite talk about news that we find interesting and discuss the local tech startup scene. Launch Bite is part of the Vulcan Network, a network dedicated to bringing you the latest lifestyle and tech news. Hi, Brian.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm awesome. I'm supposed to do this podcast in Thailand. But I'm not there now.
Yeah, it's good that the news came out just before you were supposed to go.
Yeah,
if not, I think you might have been stuck there for a while.
But the good thing is, so I was supposed to go Thailand to meet my friend, right, to do to check out some co-working space. So because of the military coup they announced, and I cannot go, like you mentioned. But the good thing is, Tiger Airway, they allow us to turn our fare into credits.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, so I can fly to anywhere else. I bought the total ticket was $285, and that will be changed into a credit. And within 3 months, I can go to any other places.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
And another service which is pretty good also, Agoda. So you know the hotel booking. So I write to them. By right, cancellation for special promotion packages is there's no cancellation. They will just take all your fees.
Yeah.
So I wrote to them, told them that, hey, it's not that I don't want to go, but there's no flight going plus. It's a military coup, right?
Yeah.
So they also did the refund. Yeah,
that's
so
nice.
Very good
service.
So
was it a full refund or was it a credit?
It's still a full refund. I was quite surprised.
That's actually a very good PR for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good...
Like now, right now, they're getting free advertisement for me.
Yeah, exactly.
How's your week?
My week has been good. I've been pretty busy with work, and I've also experimented with building my own teleprompter. So I'm going to test it out later because I just got a couple more components that I needed. So for those of you who don't know what a teleprompter is, a teleprompter is what newscasters use to show up their script so that it's kind of like this screen that sits in front of the camera so that you can read the script while still looking at the camera. So you always feel like the newscasters are staring at you and like they've memorized the entire script, but it's not true. They are just reading it off the teleprompter that's rolling in front of the camera. So yeah, generally these things cost between $1,000 to $5,000 and require a computer to do the scrolling and stuff. But what I did was with iPad and a little bit of hackery, I put together something for less than $5, excluding the iPad.
Wow.
So we'll see how it works. I hope it works. I think I got a theory, right?
I think you should.
We'll see.
You should. Doing a blog post might take you some time. I think you should just take a lot of pictures and share it online.
Okay, cool. With that, why don't we get right into the news?
Yes.
First piece of news of the week is from Facebook. Facebook is rolling out the privacy checkup feature in the coming days that will use simple graphics to explain to users who sees the information that they post. In addition, the company will be changing the default settings for new users from public to friends only, a move that will spare the new users from having to navigate Facebook's often confusing privacy menus. Seems like Facebook is starting to be serious about privacy.
Second news from Thailand. So mobile data usage in Thailand surged after the military coup. DTEC, the country's second largest telco, revealed that mobile data usage surged nearly 25% since the coup started. This is likely due to the media blackout instructed by the military, and citizens are seeking alternative news online.
Next, according to an article from Ars Technica, starting on September 16th, you will see self-driving cars in California's public road. This is part of a pilot test program, and an operator will remain in the driver's seat at all times during the test.
From E27, Sexy Mandarin. So Sexy Mandarin is an Hong Kong-based online learning platform that uses sex appeal to educate consumers in Mandarin. The company is also looking to introduce a new service called Spicy Japanese. There's nothing innovative about the service, but I thought the business idea is pretty interesting.
The next piece of news is about the MH370. Barely 2 months after the sudden disappearance of flight MH370 that was en route from Malaysia to Beijing, there has been a growth in the emergence of books and films based on the incident. What do you guys think about that? Is it has there been enough time past the tragedy for people to start taking advantage of this story? Yeah. So I don't know how they feel about this. What do you think, Brian?
I don't know. Maybe entrepreneurs are leveraging on the opportunities because there is no closing to the incident, and how can anyone come out with a book, or they will just stop at the latest news?
Okay, so this article was on Vulcan Post and actually went into quite a bit of depth about the whole discussion that was going around this publication of books and movies about this idea. And it all started with an Indian director, Rupesh Paul, who pitched this idea for a thriller drama that was adapted from the MH370 tragedy. And this pitch actually wanted to talk about, like, wanted to showcase the passengers on board and what could possibly have happened based on all the investigation reports that have been released so far. The thing is that it's been barely 2 months. It's still very fresh on our minds. It's still something that is ongoing. They're still trying to recover the plane. And for the families, it is still very much a tragedy that they are still in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not something that you can really say, based on a true story 50, 80 years ago, or based on World War II, where you recount the entire story as a dramatic reenactment. It feels very mercenary. It's like they're trying to take advantage of a tragedy that's affected these people so much to make money. And I don't know how I feel about it. And apparently... Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, No, I feel the same, because the pain is still there, right, for the relative and the families who are affected. And how come someone is making a movie or a trailer or even writing a book out of it?
Yeah, and the thing is that in order to really make a movie out of it, because honestly, we don't know what happened. We still don't have enough information. He would be making up
speculation.
Facts.
Yeah,
yeah, he'll be speculating along the way in order to fill in the movie. Or it'll be a terrible movie because there will be no plot. And ultimately, that just like makes it even worse for the family and for people who want to know the truth. It's almost, I don't know, immoral to me. Yeah. And the thing is, CNN picked this up, right? And they were talking to the director. And they weren't very convinced about whether or not there was enough time between the tragedy and this movie or this pitch for it to be a viable thing or it to be classy. Yeah. But I guess the director said, like, it's based on an investigation report, so it's not 100% fiction. I don't know.
They are using some sort of crowdfunding, right?
Didn't see anything about crowdfunding in there.
I think
he's pitching to the film festival.
Ah, okay, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I don't think it's a crowdfunded thing. So,
do you think if they should put it on, so Kickstarter, they fund movies as well, right? Films and documentaries. I wonder how would the response be when he put it up on, if he put it up on Kickstarter or Indiegogo.
It'd be interesting because actually, I mean, honestly, the budget for this is not a short film budget.
Mm-hmm.
It is 3.5 million, and
wow.
I think it is slated to be a full feature length. I guess there are not enough details here, but still.
I think it's just taking advantage of the situation. You know, it's like when there's new breaking news, then some bloggers, they will write about all the shits about the breaking news. Similar concept.
Yeah, I think it's much too early to really speculate about this or to make any form of movie about it. It just doesn't seem right. Okay, anywho, moving on to the next piece of news.
Oh, very spicy news. So we talk about Sexy Mandarin. Basically, it's an online platform that teaches you Mandarin. Most of the users for Sexy Mandarin are men. And the founder actually leveraged on sex appeal to teach Mandarin so that you have more motivation and you are incentivized to work harder.
I see.
Yeah, and the videos are really interesting, and they have, if I could describe it, they have two ladies lying on the bed and explaining like what time is it now. So they will have a conversation in Chinese first in Mandarin, and after that there will be some cartoon characters coming out to explain each of the sentences, what does it mean. And many times the scenario is based on dating. Because you can pick up a lot of language like ni hen la, like you are hot in Chinese. Yeah, so many of these things. But I this service has been there for 3 years. This year they are expanding to teach Japanese, and it's called Spicy Japanese, and there will be a lot of cosplay leads inside. Like I said, there's nothing innovative, but I thought the use of sex appeal as a business idea is pretty interesting. It always works, huh? Sex always sells, no matter how bad, no matter what you are trying to do. Even learning a language, sex also sells.
Yeah, I guess. It's,
So basically what you are, even you are selling a light bulb, if you are, I don't know, they always
to do this. I'm sure there's some way to make it into some sort of sex appeal thing. I personally don't think it's a great idea. It's
and maybe it will help you learn. Yeah, it is sexist, but maybe it will help you learn Mandarin.
maybe. If I were like 13 years old, I guess again, maybe this would have helped. I don't know.
But it's
sort of immature.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I think things like Duolingo, app that helps you learn Spanish, German, and all.
Yeah.
They also incorporate gamification, and that makes more sense in their gamification. This way, like I said, I agree with you. Yeah. It's just sexist, but I like to share this news because, to share our points about how people are leveraging on sex appeal to introduce their businesses.
Yeah, sure.
The next one is more.
Ultimately, it does generate
buzz.
It just generate buzz, and it's publicity. So nothing is bad publicity when it's publicity, right? So that's about it, I guess. Anywho, next piece of news is about self-driving cars.
This is more interesting.
Yeah, starting on September 16th, self-driving cars will take to California's public roads, and this is a pilot test program, so it will still be safe because there will be an operator in the driver's seat at all times to monitor what's happening and to react if necessary. But it's a great step in the direction of having fully efficient roads, for having safer roads, and I don't know if we are ready for this, but it's so cool. It's just so cool. Yeah.
So Google had their self-driving cars. That's because they own about 3/4 of Mountain View. So they and their self-driving cars can
campus site, right?
So their self-driving cars can move around Mountain View and all. So there are many other companies. I think in this article it states about six or seven companies. They are also doing self-driving cars. They do not have the real estate like Google to test drive their self-driving cars. So this is a great step forward. Locally, I agree with you, it's a bit challenging to see self-driving cars in Singapore road.
Yeah, so just yesterday I was actually involved in a car accident. The taxi that I was in was involved in like this 6-car accident on the AYE. So it was It was something that I guess could have been avoided if everyone had the right amount of distance between them.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we kind of saw it coming, and he only had like 2 seconds to react. So, you can't really break in time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was just a matter of space. The cab that I was in got the worst damage out of all of them. So.
Will you trust a self-driving car than a cab driver?
Okay. So here's the thing. When the thing is that there is no reaction time for self-driving cars, but mm-hmm. for humans there is always a split second reaction time, no matter how fast you are, unless like maybe you're a jet pilot or whatever. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, that split second time could mean the difference between braking fast enough or hitting the next car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the thing is that we also as humans tend not to maintain the safe distance between cars, and a self-driving car would maintain a distance no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there are a lot of things that make a self-driving car make a lot more sense on the road in terms of efficiency and safety, but it's just whether or not we as humans trust these self-driving cars. So we'll see. Yeah,
in I think months ago,
mm-hmm.
I read this news about Google Ventures actually put some money into Uber. So the concept is it's a speculation that Uber will introduce service with self-driving cars. That means you have someone to pick up, the car will come and pick you up without any drivers inside.
That's so pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, but, well, I think it will still have a driver in there. It's just that he's more of a... No, not just in case, but it's more of the concierge.
Attends to you.
Yeah, it's at your service. Because Uber ultimately, I mean, we're not talking about Uber, what was the other one called? The Uber Lite one, the one where it's cheaper.
UberX.
It's not UberX, it's Uber, which is very much around the idea of that you have a chauffeur at your service.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's this prestige thing. So I don't know if they will introduce self-driving cars on that end. And even if they do, I see them taking the service to another next level. Yeah.
Do you think there's no startup that I know of that's doing self-driving cars or self-driving motors or self-driving bike in locally?
Like, well, not that I know of.
Yeah, not that I know of.
Yeah, it's... probably a high question capital. Of high capital and also space to be able to test it out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine, so the general AI behind it is something that we can theorize and work out in the lab. But to really test it, you really need areas where you can monitor the traffic and test out what a car would do in that kind of situations and stuff like that. So not something that's available in Singapore. It's very hard to get, I think, in Singapore.
There is one, but it's not a startup. They are from NUS. The Singapore MIT Alliance,
The SMART, right?
Yeah, the SMART. Yeah.
I always thought that their robotics was like the golf cart size, kind of.
Oh, they have a very small car that is a self-driving car, and they hope to cut down the cost. Yeah,
I heard about this. Yeah, I heard about this. It's pretty cool.
And they have the space to do it. NUS, up slope, down slope. As long as they don't drive out the NUS campus.
Yeah. another interesting thing in the article from Ars Technica is that Audi has plans to incorporate a cruise control for stop-and-go traffic.
Ooh.
So... you know, cruise control is kind of where you, the car just assumes that you're going to be staying at this constant speed, and it helps you to maintain it without you having to adjust your accelerator all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have cruise control for stop and go traffic, it basically monitors how far away you are from the next car and what's the speed of the next car and adjusts it for you. That's pretty cool. That's pretty interesting.
That's actually
like a midway between a completely self-driving car and a normal car nowadays.
Maybe. I think in the next 5 years, we might see a prototype soon, hopefully, Singapore. Then we can get to try it.
Yes, I would love that. Okay, cool. So next up is news from Thailand, which just went through the military coup.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was on Thursday this week. So,
Yeah.
yeah, pretty sad. But this is an interesting article about the mobile data usage during that period of time. So, Byron, what's it about?
Currently they only have so after the military coup that was confirmed, they only can watch one channel. I think it's Channel 5, and where they broadcast a lot of military news, as in like what's happening now and all. And the rest of the media, they are having a media blackout, so I think most of them are going online. And if you are tweeting about politically sensitive stuff, you will be blocked as well. So I think people are just going online and just read news. And one of the devices that they use, they are not using laptop, obviously, and mobile data usage has surged.
Yeah, because it's harder to block these avenues of receiving news. Again, it's an example of technology being used by the citizens, right, to give them more power over what's happening in their country. And while this military coup is sad, it also kind of showcases that the people nowadays do have means of getting the news that they need. And it does give a certain amount of power, but at the same time, they do need help. And I'm really wondering, how much does this affect their situation over there?
In fact, because of my trip, I was like monitoring the condition and the situation in Thailand. Most of my news, or rather sources, I get it online, and I get it to social media, like the tweets. I just follow the hashtag like Thailand2014, and I will know. In fact, the very first news that I got to know that the military coup was confirmed, it was through Twitter, a tweet by someone.
I
I
saw
saw
the news on BBC's
BBC's
site,
site,
and
and
it
it
was
was
an
an RSS
RSS feed
feed
that
that
I
I got.
got. So, the
The
speed
speed
of
of
information
information
transfer
transfer
is
is
incredible
incredible
now,
now,
right?
right?
I wonder how well the military will try and control it, or how successful they will be at controlling it.
Actually, this is going to be a very tough situation, although
Yeah, for sure.
for them. I don't know. I love the country. I think the country, I always like to go there because it's relatively cheaper to spend there. And you can get very good stuff from Chatuchak.
I hope they get out of this better than before, but we'll see. We shall see.
But at least there's one thing you can learn from this. That because of the mobile data usage, right? It also proves that there are a lot of mobile users over there. And if you're
For
thinking of
sure.
starting, do a startup in the mobile space, Thailand is one space you can take a look at once they clear this military coup.
Okay,
Okay,
so
so
last
last
piece of
piece of
news for
news
today is about
about
Facebook.
Facebook.
Facebook
Facebook
is
is
rolling
rolling
out
out
the
the
privacy
privacy
checkup
checkup
feature.
feature.
So, have
Have
you
you
tried
tried
it?
it?
Or have you taken a look at what they want to do?
No, but I look at the video. So in the past, also, what I always wanted to do was to, my profile is semi-private. That means if I don't know you, you come to my profile, you can take a look at my info. But I do not want you to do. I do not want you to look at my photos. I always have trouble doing that because the privacy menu is so confusing. You have security, you have application, you have activities, activity logs for individual apps. Then I went crazy. Which one do I block you? Do I block you from the photos or do I block you from the album? I get confused.
It's always very confusing, their privacy settings, and I guess it's just the fact that they have so much information about you. How do you granularly like block certain things? And they definitely want you to just share as much as you're willing to share, so pull and push.
They have introduced a new service on their iOS and Android app as well. Sajam? Is it Shazam? How do you pronounce that?
Shazam.
Sajam, the one where you can listen to the music and it will give you the title of the song.
Yeah,
Ah,
Shazam.
Sajam, right? Facebook has
Zam.
that as well now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so if you are typing in your status like I am happy, and if there is a background music, they will pick up the background music and tell you like I am happy. Some so and so is listening to this right now.
Yeah.
But it's so scary.
Well, Spotify does it. It's just whether or not you share, you know. Yeah.
So you can... It really depends, rounds down to how much information you want Facebook to know about you. I don't know, but do you keep that? So I always see you typing in status update like 7, like, no, why is this, what is this? Do you use the iOS app to type in, or do you go into the desktop app and do that?
Most of the time it's iOS.
Okay.
Yeah, it's... Okay, so here's the thing. I am not... My privacy settings on Facebook is almost as open as it could possibly be. I think if you go to my profile and you don't really know me, you can see almost everything that I post anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's my policy, my personal policy when it comes to Facebook or any of the social media. Whatever I put up there, I'm willing to share with anyone who wants to see it, basically. Yeah. But at the same time, a lot of my friends kind of complain that I put up one word posts and stuff like that.
7.
Yeah.
So what does 7 mean?
I'll tell you later. Okay. But anyway, the people who would know what the words mean or what that just happened or things that are related to them and me, that's kind of how I phrase my status update. So if you were meant to know what it means, then you would know.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how I do things. All right. It also sounds pretty cool and mysterious and
very mysterious. Right? Yeah. Very, very.
Yeah, but it's really like, at the end of the day, if you really don't want to share something with the whole world, don't put it on Facebook. Share it in like a WhatsApp group or something, you know, or even just Facebook chat. Yeah. It's just not worth putting something out there that's risky for you if you feel it's risky. Or if you don't give a shit, then whatever, put everything like I do. There we go. So yeah, that's my policies on Facebook.
Okay, so I think
that would
think
be really cool
all?
To see what the checkout feature is gonna do, because it'd be interesting to see what's been shared and who's seen it. Yeah. Okay. Anywho, Brian, what events do we have coming up?
So for events, we have 2 key events, which is very interesting. One starting tomorrow. Monday, May 26th, 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. at IDA Labs. So IDA Labs is this new place where there's free 3D printer for you to use, free laser cutters. It's a hardware place. A lot is created for the makers. It's sponsored by IDA, and for tomorrow they are partnering with Indiegogo to have a demo day over there, and cool. It's a free event and. I think everyone should go. We will put up the event right. I will put up this show notes tonight so that tomorrow people can actually go.
Awesome.
Yeah, so fantastic place. IDA Labs Indiegogo Demo Day in Singapore. Okay.
What time?
7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. at night. Yeah.
Cool. I think I'll drop by.
Yeah.
You wanna go?
I'm thinking of going because I never been to the lab and I really like to take a look at the free 3D printer that we can use.
Okay, let me know. I'll be in NUS. So.
Oh, awesome. Okay. All the venue is in Middle Road, that is near National Library.
Oh, God.
And Bugis, okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right, yeah, I guess I'll be down there anyway. All right, let's go.
The second event of the week that we need to pay attention to is Seed Forum. So Seed Forum is a forum for investors. It's free for investors. It's an event by E27. It starts on 5th of June, 9:30 a.m. And it's a half-day program. Ends about 1 p.m. at Marina Mandarin Hotel. Yeah, so it's Seed Forum. I caught this over at E27. So before I end this, so these 2 key events that we need to know for the week. This morning, I also introduced I changed a bit of my newsletter. I call it Boss List now, a newsletter, Boss List, so it's tiny letter / Boss List. It's a weekly curation where I curate about 15 to 30 newsletters and I send out the summary. I have a new format and I thought some of the listeners may be interested, so you all can go and take a look. So again, it's tinyletter, tinyletter.com okay. Yeah. / B-O-S-S-L-I-S-T.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, Brian, where can we find more about you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at LeeTucking.
And you can find me on Twitter as well at ANTTYC. You can find out more about us at our website at www.launchbyte.com, or you can also find us on Twitter and Facebook at the same handle. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye bye.